I wonder if people, before we start the show, they go, what on earth were they laughing so much about? Well, you'll never know. You should come and watch the live show if you want to know. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big stories that have gone on in Mac. There's not many. I warn you, there's not many. But we'll do our best to get through it. Helping me wade through the turd shit boundaries that there are of news and absence of news today, the usual suspect, fantastic bunch, still getting himself together, and I don't know what he's doing now. What are you looking... You look like you
polishing
were doing...
Polishing his turd.
after not having his colonoscopy, or having his colonoscopy yesterday, now the whole world knows. It's my shit brother from another brother. Doc, how you doing, man?
I did put it on Instagram because I feel that a lot of dudes would be like me and keep putting it off, and it's kind of a dangerous thing to put off because it is like the number three most dangerous, you know, cancer available. So
yeah,
I did it. I put it out there for you lot, not just because I was being an overshare.
Mate, I never pass a chance to have a camera up my ass.
Oh God. Well, the funny thing is, yesterday I got a camera, and I also got a new camera. So, yeah, I kind of had a camera day yesterday.
Smile!
Anyway, it's good, man. Everything's good. Like, I'm not going to die, so you guys are stuck.
Good. Good, man. Well done. Get yourself checked out. No point in dying of testicular cancer, bowel cancer, breast cancer. Keep checking, fellas. And girls, because obviously we don't have... Well, we did. Yeah, men do get breast cancer, don't they?
Men do get breast cancer, too, but... Yeah,
yeah.
The ladies definitely do your test.
Well, you would have to have it in cinema scope.
James, get your dog.
Panavision. Next to him, it's James.
Hello, everybody.
Tough week for you, mate. But how did yesterday go?
Do you know what? It's always the same, isn't it? When you have a funeral and it's a very unexpected funeral, it just brings people together. People have not seen Apple for for 2 years now. So it's a really good, I'd say, celebration of somebody's life, really. And it was great, you know. It was really good.
And how did your film go down?
Oh, geez. I'm going to be absolutely honest now and say that the church was that packed. There was about 80 of us standing outside, listening. So there's 80 of us that didn't see it outside. But yes, I was approached by his mum, which is lovely, afterwards, and said,
brilliant,
what an amazing tribute in photographs it was. So that's
good on you, mate.
That's all I needed, really. So
excellent.
Yeah, really, really good day. Thank you.
When
good
I die, here. I want get people to get pissed and laugh a lot.
That really did happen.
It
I didn't
will
get drunk,
happen.
Though, because I don't drink.
Definitely. Next to him, in brand new spangly house, Patrice in the new studio. Well done for getting everything set up in time for the show, mate.
That was actually the first thing I did, like setting up internet and then setting up my desk.
Yeah. Internet, BTN ability, and then food, maybe later.
Maybe later. Yeah.
How's the new pad, important. Mate?
Pretty cool so far. Yeah. I mean, I'm still getting settled in. You can't even see the mess like that is behind me.
No,
here.
Good camera work, mate.
So,
So how big's the place?
About 1,400 square feet. So three bedrooms, like three smaller bedrooms, two bathrooms, a massive kitchen, dining room, like living room area.
That's decent. That's the kind of size of a three bedroom detached house in England. So, have you bought or are you renting?
I'm renting.
Right.
I don't like buying stuff. So,
okay,
I'm good. Dog is enjoying the yard as well. So, I mean, other than she's sleeping next to me now, but
because she's been enjoying the yard.
Yes, that's true.
She's knackered. Yeah. And last but by no means least, our man against the grass. I'm going to get something behind you one day, mate. Steve Sandy.
Good morning.
How's the life in Denver?
Actually, pretty darn good, even though it's going to be relatively. I mean, you always have to have the Denver weather report.
We have every time you're on,
and
yes.
It's been kind of going between semi-warm to, oh my God, it's freezing. And I think tomorrow it's supposed to snow again.
You know, you do realize there's people that switch off after this bit of the podcast when they've got the Denver weather report.
They go, that's the only thing I
live
want to find out.
24-hour report.
But it's, it's been a actually kind of a normal winter. We've had a lot of drought winters over the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, but this is very typical getting a lot of snow, which is really good to see. Ski areas are happy. They're getting a ton of snow. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I got a friend out in Val d'Isère. He keeps posting up on Twitter and it looks on Instagram, and it looks like it, there's been a fair old bit of snow out in that neck of the woods as well. It's been a normal winter, like you say. That week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on, all the stuff that's happening. First big story, I guess, is that there's a bit of a rumor going around, and we're not into the rumors, we know that, but supposedly, come March 29th, there's going to be AirPods 2 release.
Yay!
Now then, questions about levels of excitement, questions about features, what are they going to do if they come out, and also then, will they work for Mueller?
No. I think that's a no.
So we've had two people. So we've got Lee Peterson. I don't know what that was. We got Lee Peterson, who's had dodgy AirPods, and I think he gave up in the end. Whether he carried on, I don't know. Mueller was gonna give up, but I think they've talked him into trying again, because he was getting one dropping out and not the other. I've had two pairs of these, and I have had no issues at all. Same. I have been absolutely rock solid. Ellis loves them. Ellis wears his for probably 60% of his entire day. He's got his AirPods on, so he drives the crap out of these things. I love them.
Yeah, I loved my AirPods. The unfortunate thing is I ended up having to get hearing aids. And as a result of the hearing aids, it's like, I really can't put something else in my ear. So I get really crappy music through the hearing aids, but hey, I can hear. So
don't the AirPods have a hearing aid mode?
It's not a true hearing aid mode. The big thing about hearing aids, and the reason I think they're so damned expensive, is they do a very, very good job of taking more than just the sound in front of you. Really good ones will take, you know, 360 degree orb around your head and manage to process that down and do some pretty darn good amplification and try to prevent you from getting echoes and all these other things when you're speaking. Anyway, I tried at one point when I had the AirPods, tried some of those apps, and they really don't do the same type of job. They really don't.
I thought if you went into... if you went into accessibility, I've just got my phone in front of me.
Yeah, there's a mode there.
There's
that's
a
called,
mode for it.
You end up using T-loops. The speaker on the iPhone.
No, I thought you could pass it through to your AirPods, and it was a T-loop thing. So when you walked into the bank and that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No? Am I just dreaming this?
I think there is a mode, and I can't look right now, but anyway.
Right, chat room, you're on this. Get onto it. Tell us the settings, because I'm sure that there's a T-loop thing that you can go in. If you've got hearing aids, your AirPods can work as hearing aids in the bank and that kind of stuff. I'm positive.
Yeah, I'm just using the hearing aids.
Jeff was here right now.
Accessibility. Let me see if I can find the damn thing here.
We'll come back to you.
I'd say you know, that I've used mine every day. Just fantastic. I am noticing that, it was funny, I've been up to Telford earlier today, and it's the amount of people who've actually got them in their ears. It's insane. Once you start sort of tuned into the fact, you see people at bus stops and things, and it's actually a lot more commonplace now than I think it's ever been. I think they're getting really popular. And as to whether I would personally upgrade mine, I remember when they got released and there was that sort of no mention about them being this outstanding sound quality. There was a big thing that when it first came out, it was just case, oh, look at the portability of the battery, blah, blah, blah. But Apple never mentioned anything about the sound being superbly better than a wired version of their normal headphones that come with the iPhone. So this might be the chance for them to say, well, look, we've made these more bass yet. And of course, there'll be a rechargeable case as well. That'll have the NFC stuff on the back. You know what I mean. That thing.
The Qi.
Yeah. W1.
Qi charger.
The Qi. That's the one. So, you know, that'll be a big selling point for some people to be able to just plonk them down and have them charge. And maybe, you know, might even see air power, God forbid.
But here's the point then, though, fellas, is if I'm going to spend out my spons on a brand new set of these things, they've got to be giving me something an awful lot more than I currently have, and I can't.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, well, okay, they've got Siri integration, actually can ignore me on a new device, fantastic. Or if you say, you know, there's Qi charging on the case, not sure. Yeah. Not sure that really sways me either way, but yeah, okay. But I'm not spending 160 quid or 199 quid if they go up in price just to get Qi charging. It's not happening. So what's going to happen on these things? What features are we going to say that's going to rip the 199 out of your pocket?
The big one, I think, even though, again, I don't know if that will absolutely pull me because it's not as harsh as it's supposed to have better range. That's one of the big ones. But the other one is it's supposed to have better health kit integration. But so I don't know if I want my headphones listening in my ears. I mean, listening to my brain.
Is it taking heartbeat? Because ears are a good place for heartbeat, isn't it?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it gives you a better heartbeat situation. I kind of like the idea of longer Bluetooth, but then again, I run into that rarely. You know, for the most part, my phone's in my pocket when I'm using it. But there is the occasion when I'm cleaning house and the phone is on the charger and I got my buds in, I'm walking around. Right when I get to the edge of the kitchen, I can't hear crap. So I got to like mop with the long arms.
The only time I ever run into this is when I leave the house and forget my phone at home. I left my AirPods in. I'm like, all of a sudden it cuts out. I was like, oh, crap.
That's a good thing. It shows you left your phone, surely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now you'll be halfway down the block and then you go, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's like, oh, nah. Not turning around now.
I kind of wonder if one of the things that they might be looking at is also taking temperature. I saw something a while back where they were talking about possibly putting temperature sensors in the ear. I just can't see how they'd get a real accurate reading, but who knows? Something that's plugged into your ears all the time.
No, when I was in the ambulance, we always took temps in the ear with the laser thing, just because a lot of times, especially when people are freaking out, you can't do an oral temp, and axillary is not accurate. The most accurate is a colonoscopy, but we're not, you know, it's something in the field, it's not easy to do that either. So we always took oral temps, and that's a basis of a vital sign.
Do not attempt a rectal temperature test if the person is panicked.
I mean, that would be funny. Like, in just imagine you're in the ambulance and then someone says, bend over, I have to take your temperature.
Guess what's not going to happen?
Yeah. And your prostate's fine too. So, right, here we go then, fellas. All things being equal, hands up, who come March 29th is ordering a brand new set of AirPods? Muller, no.
I'm not sure. Like, mine, the battery is slowly dying, so it might be bad for it.
The battery's slowly dying, honest.
Yeah, but that's the only reason, really.
Yeah.
I would say yeah, but I'm maybe going on a trip again in April, so if that would just take it away.
If it's feature-filled, I'm a yes. But if it's not feature filled, just for Qi charging and Siri integration, not really, couldn't care less.
Yeah.
What part about Qi charging is I'd have to then buy another charger.
Well, I've got one of those flat pads ones, you know, the flat surface ones, that it would work off that in a heartbeat. And I've got two or three of those, so I can leave them kicking around and I can charge it dead easy. So that would be really, really helpful, yes. But I'm just not that. It takes me ages to go through one charge on the battery anyway, as it is, so. No. Beats. I'll go on.
No, I was just going to say, I think, you know what Apple's like. If they don't have anything sort of blown up for it and it just appears on the Apple website, it might just, like I just said, have that charging case and maybe something on the sound extra. It'll be really interesting to just drop it very quietly on the site. It'd be interesting to hear what they do with the older ones, because obviously there's probably a load of those hanging around, whether they became a better price point even. That'd be good for someone else to pick something up.
See, that's what would happen, is I'd end up buying another old ones because it's on sale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'd go and buy another pair of older ones just so a pair I can put in the car maybe or a second pair, because you always think, you know, where they put them. But to certainly have two pairs around the house would be really handy for sure.
Yeah, no.
That's my piece.
Yeah. Cool. Beats have teamed up with a Japanese fashion brand, and they've come out with some Beats X headphones, and those are them. I think they look really cool.
Mm.
They do. They got like they got a kind of like Maasai warrior kind of look going on there with the girl that's wearing them. Are they the ones that have the big Maasai warriors? They have the long necks and the beaded earrings.
Mm.
No, sure of it. Yeah, I think they look brilliant. They look really cool.
What's interesting about this whole Beats X partnership with Apple is when I was working at the store, you know, is the minute they bought a new model or a new color or anything, the place would be filled with people like standing in queue just to look at the box. It was really bizarre, you know, and I thought, I didn't think Beats has that much of a following, but it really did, you know. I was just kind of overwhelmed by people just wanting to look at a different color, you know, headphone, yet they couldn't get enough of them, you know what I mean? It was almost like buying a pair of trainers, really. It really is a fashion item, and I think Apple are really fortunate to have bought that company, and obviously the kudos that comes with it, massively.
Well, especially, there's people who have Beats that match their shoes, you know, and like you said, turn it into a very fashion-oriented thing. The hot thing in fashion right now are these collabos. So the biggest brand at the moment is Off-White. And they're on the come up. Supreme is still bigger, but Off-White is the new up and coming, which kind of started out as motorcycle gear. And then now it's like high fashion. Supreme, you know, skateboard gear that's grown itself into high fashion. So if this is their first X collab, it's kind of, you know, the beginning of something that's only going to grow. You know, and they did it years ago. I don't know if you guys remember Apple and Lassie had the Porsche design.
Yeah, stock.
Yeah.
The FM Porsche. So I guess Porsche. With Johnny being who Johnny is, they've always kind of been into it. But now that they have a fashion person as well as a design team, you're going to see more fashion collabs with Apple. The Hermes was a kind of a touch to it. And I used to think I've always wanted one. I wouldn't buy one because it's too expensive. I've never seen anyone on the Hermes wristband, and I saw one yesterday. The lady was wearing it. So, yeah, it happened.
Muller saying, my Apple phone works on my mate Samsung wireless charger. Well, it will do because that's what Qi is.
Yeah.
Utterly compatible. And the dude on the video is, I think it's a dude, not a girl now. It's a metrosexual dude. Okay. Maybe. I'm lost. I'm definitely old now because I can't tell who are blokes and who are girls anymore. It's definitely the way of it. Apple has announced the winners of the shot on an iPhone.
Oh.
There's the first one. I quite like that photo. I thought that was really well done.
Mm.
Like a guy walking over a puddle at distance and heart-shaped type thing and then turned upside down. There's a whole pile of them, but I've got to say that's the best one.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? That's very good. I follow, obviously, Apple on Instagram. So, you know, every other sort of day, the Instagram will come up with, and you just sit there going, wow. You know, you don't even have to look at where the photos come from. You just know when I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed that that's the Apple Instagram feed. Do you know what I mean? The photos are so well picked, you know, by the people who are obviously in charge of that. It's just fantastic. So clean. So clean.
And Matt Rooms have put a video of the Grand Canyon that Tim Cook tweeted, which I just, okay.
It was also shot on an iPhone by someone.
Yeah, that was shot on iPhone. No, I know, but Tim Cook's put the video up of it. So, but that wasn't part of it, because the shot on the iPhone was a stills comp, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
it's still impressive.
I'm trying to find loads more of the pictures, but I've only got that one.
Somebody has Laurie's attack in their house.
Steve's just got the most.
Not me.
So there's.
No, they're just ripping apart the house next to us, but I can't even hear that this morning. So.
Yeah, Petra, is it? That's Petra.
for bringing you oxygen.
That could be.
There isn't a list. There isn't an article that's got a list of the stories on, or the images on. So it's the 10 winners of the shot on the iPhone. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I've got it now. So that one. I like that one. That was the basketball court.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the basketball court was pretty good. The raccoon looking up through the thing that you could just see immediately after that shot was taken, the raccoon going ballistic up the center of there and taking the bloke's face off.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's a great picture. Look at that. That multicolored building, that was fab.
Which one? Because I'm on a different multicolored building now.
Okay. Yeah,
in a puddle.
The one before the raccoon.
Oh right, yeah. The tennis court. Now I was a bit disappointed with this one because this shot's been done. It's like an Athena poster. I was disappointed in that. I thought that was. It's a nice picture. Don't get me wrong, but it's not. It's not holy shit good.
It's not interesting, really.
No, and the heart shaped reflection on the tarmac. I did like that one. I thought that was a good winner. That was excellent. Yeah. The little kid in the Yosemite, I think what's quite impressive with that one is the depth of field that they've got in that, because that's to have her fairly sharp and have the El Capitan fairly sharp as well is quite impressive. So,
has anybody done the Apple Walks yet with the, obviously they're free with the Apple Store. If you go and go to one of their workshops, they take you around, in our case, Birmingham, looking for great shots. Anybody done that yet?
No,
I didn't even know about that. I might actually do that.
Yeah, they're actually called photo walks, and the idea is you get sort of an hour and a half. So what you do is you all go out with a creative. There's normally two or three of these creatives, and it's great because it's raining. They've got umbrellas to give you, and they'll take you to like specific areas within inside the city that they're allocated, and they'll teach you to look for the shapes in the architecture and things like that, things to look out for. So you go away and take like 5 to 10 photographs of that. When you get back to the Apple Store, they'll throw it to the screen. Then they'll talk you through sort of sharpening them up using the brightness adjustment and things like that. So it's a really good opportunity. It's free, guys. So, you know, photo walks, definitely worth going in on and get some experience. Yeah. I mean, I know obviously the guys who do it in Birmingham, and they're a really good lot, you know, they're really fun, and they tell me great stories about how people from the general public will just walk up and go, oh, can I join in, because obviously you start off in the store and you walk out, and it's just random people join in because obviously it looks so much fun, and there's people actually pointing at things. It does create a bit of an atmosphere, which I think is fab, you know. It's great for the guys to get out of the Apple Store as well.
We have a lot of photo walks here in the Phoenix area, like day and night walks. I don't think they're organized by Apple. I mean, they might be, but I think they're like independent. But every weekend, like Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, I see at least like 4 or 5 groups. It looks fun, so I definitely want to do that.
Yeah, it really does.
They're good money spinners. I've thought a couple of times about doing one, but because I think they do make good money.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, you know, it's a case of having those sort of GorillaPod things as well, you know. So if you've got one of those with you, and you can obviously say to people, look, I can wrap this around a tree, and, you know, we can take a selfie, or we can take a time lapse, you know, with a GorillaPod, something like that. And of course, you've got a car full of them when you get back to the car park with all the team. Well, I've got me, you know, 12 quid, off you go. So yeah, they certainly can make some money, sure.
Mm. Muller's tried to wind me up by putting Bocca in the Slack room, but he spelt it wrong, so I'm not wound up. B-O-K-E-H, mate. Bocca.
Bocca.
And Bocca and Depth and Field are not the same thing.
Ewan, a really good question here is, how would you describe Bocca to somebody who doesn't know what that feature is, especially on the iPhone as it's becoming more popular? If you had to say to me, what's Bokeh?
Right, so that's not, the iPhone doesn't do Bokeh in that sense. So, So depth of field is blur, but Bokeh is the patterning of the blur. So if you get light sources, the shape that the light source creates, like a round circle, that's Bokeh. So let me just go to There we go.
Because obviously you've seen Boca is also sort of hexagonal, haven't you?
Yeah, so here you go. Look.
Yeah, it depends on the lens, actually.
Right,
okay.
So what it is, and it's an art form in Japan. This is Boca. So people will get specific covers. If you look at the hearts that are here at the bottom right-hand corner, that is done using either the lights themselves are actually that way, or there's a specific cover that's got heart shapes cut out into it, a lens cover, and they shoot through the lens cover. So Boca is not blur. That is depth of field. Boca is the pattern of blur that comes through. Yep. And as I said, that is an art form to be able to do that. And the better quality the lens you've got, the better the circles are.
And also the depth of field can't be too big, because otherwise you will not get that effect.
Yeah.
Because I take it, you've not seen the new Apple commercials then with them saying about how you've bockered out their daughter. Have you seen the advert from Apple yet?
No, because I would have made reference to that and what a bunch of wankers they are.
Okay, well, they are. If anyone takes a moment, Apple released two adverts, and it's basically two, obviously, stay-at-home mums, if you like, and they're sharing each other's photographs across the kitchen table, and then the one woman says, "I can't believe you've bockered out my daughter who's sitting in the back," when really, as you said quite nicely there, that actually it's blurring depth of field, not bockering.
Right, so if you look at this picture here of the heather, that is depth of field, where you've got very shallow depth of field from foreground to background. But if you look at some of the flower heads, you're getting a bokeh effect on the circling.
Yeah.
And if you see up there, look where the sunlight just grabs, that is definitely bokeh. So you can get bokeh in a short focus depth of field image, but it's not. It doesn't mean depth of field. It doesn't mean the blur. It's the pattern of blur. There we go. That's great. There we go. I'll have loads of emails now telling him I'm a twat and how wrong I am. But you can all just save yourself the effort. Just take those emails now and shove them up your ass.
Well, you're correct from the photography standpoint, but actually the root word, bokashi, does mean blurring.
Right.
And the art form is what you say it is. So the problem is, it's one of those situations where the word is right and the use of the vernacular that they're using it is wrong. But to tell someone in Japanese that bokeh or bokashi doesn't mean blur is incorrect, because it does. But that's not what they mean in this context.
It's not blur. It's the patterning of blur. It's still to do with blur, because it is a blurred piece of the image.
すいません。あれ、日本語のことができてますかな?あれ、俺が本当にペラペラだから、そしてで、ボカシーの意味はブルーと出るでしょとか。そして英語ではもうブルーも間違ったけど、でも、その時はボカシーはブルー。もう本当の意味。でしょ?住所の探したら本当の意味だよ。
Thank you, Doc. That is now absolutely crystal.
Bokashi means blur. So in a way, I'm saying people are using out of context, so you're 100% correct, but it is incorrect to say that bokeh doesn't mean blur, because bokeh literally means blur.
But I just wanted to say, I used the word blur when I talked about bokeh. It is the patterning of the blur.
Yeah, it's the blur.
It's still the blur, but it's the patterning of the blur. The bokeh effect.
Okay, anyway.
That sounds French enough. Our
Japanese understanding listeners will know I just called you all kind of messed up shit.
That's okay, mate. Am I going to have to bleep? Am I going to have to bleep any of that?
No. Because what are you going to do? Bleep it and then have a translation that says
BL? We've got Aaron who listens in Japan, mate. He'll get all of that and he'll come over all pale.
No, you won't. It wasn't bad. I swear it wasn't bad. No bad words came up.
I'll
remember to throw them in the next time.
is Doc having a stroke, or is he possessed? In the chat room.
That's racist.
Why would anyone want Bukkake in a picture?
Wow.
Oh, man.
That should be blurred out.
That should be blurred out, definitely.
Okay, let's move on. Before this gets really bad. I really have to say, I love the water drops on the car picture. I'm assuming it's a car. The one that had the red and purple and whatnot. That is such an excellent shot.
Which one? On the shot on the iPhone thing?
Yeah, right after the little girl. The little girl had me, you know, crack a tear for a second. And then when you scroll down and you see the, it probably is a neon sign reflecting on a car through the bubbles. And it's just quite amazing. That's a dope background. I could see that ending up in an iPhone launch background.
Well, that's, so that's raindrops on a window or some description. And then what the graffiti that they've driven past in the car is what you can see in the background. That's then.
It's so dope.
Yeah. I did a picture with that, with the Windows thing in it. I did a picture of that. And it had the Windows logo behind it.
Nice.
So the Windows logo is like multiple, loads of tiny little distorted Windows logos in the raindrops. Are you cold, James?
I'm freezing, mate.
You've gone for a rug, your woman.
No, I've got a throw. It's one of those nice little throws, though. See?
Oh, it's a little throw. My mistake.
I thought you had like a shawl.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's an old woman's shawl.
No, it's a throw. It's a big blanket. It's a big furry blanket.
You want to come and see my gingerbread house, dearie? Come and see my gingerbread house.
Do you guys have slankets in the UK?
Yeah, we do.
I've got this one. Is kind of what it is. It's just a big furry blanket. They call them a throw over here. I guess it's the same thing, right?
The only problem I've got is I'm too big for a slanket. You put them on.
Come on!
And my feet stick out the bottom. It's just not fair. I don't fit this world, mate. Never have. I don't get this story, but someone else can take it. And Electronic Frontier Foundation calls on Apple to let users encrypt iCloud backups as part of the Fix It Already initiative. And there's a poster here that's taken from somebody, and it says that data on your Apple device is encrypted so that no one can access it. And that's great for privacy. But then, when the data is backed up to iCloud, it's encrypted so that Apple and not just the user can access. Surely they mean unencrypted. That makes those backups vulnerable to government requests, third-party hacking, disclosures by Apple employees, and Apple should let us protect that ourselves. I don't know if I'm bothered about that, to be honest. And you're all going to go, well, you should be. But I'm just not. So
it's definitely encrypted. So the encryption key they're using, Apple has one, and they're using yours. So both Apple and you can access it. I don't know why they're doing that. I mean, for like restoring backups, you enter your password, which acts as your encryption key, or at least accesses it. So I don't know why Apple is doing that. One reason I can definitely see is if you look at iCloud. I mean, if you look at your log into iCloud.com, there is some data that has to be unencrypted in order to be able to I don't know, so see your calendar, see your contacts, all of that.
What do you want from your iCloud backup more than anything? I'd rather have the ability to actually pick what was on device side and what was on cloud side, because that is a pain in the ass at the moment. I can't force stuff to the cloud only. I'm relying on Apple deciding when to do it. And if I don't access the file for 2 weeks, then they put it up and go, oh, well, you can't have that. And then I'm like, actually, I know I might only access it once every 3 weeks, but I do want it on device side. I don't want to have to download it every time I go out. And that's really crap at the moment. I really want that fixed desperately.
I disagree. I don't think it's a big issue. Like, I mean, downloading and...
it's a use case, mate. So you can't agree or disagree. It's I want to be able to control my backup to the iCloud. Then I want to be able to control it. And that's the end of it. You might not need to, but I want to.
No, but I definitely agree with the EFF. It should be encrypted so that you only can access it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're doing it for everything else. Like iMessage is end-to-end encrypted, and Apple has declined to even offer anything. Like a lot of things are. Like all data on your device is encrypted, so nobody can access it. So why? Like, why is iCloud different? I mean, there must be a technical reason, but I don't get it.
Yeah. Solution is don't back up to an iCloud service, says Streak. But, I mean, I'm sorry, I do value having my... I've paid extra for my iCloud to go up to the 2 terabytes or whatever it is. I love it.
And at this point, you basically can't. Like, there are a lot of apps out there that use iCloud for, like... storage and backing and all of that.
Yeah.
Good point from Streak here. Paranoia is a good business.
True.
Very much so. Good business model, no question. Totally with you on that one, mate. Apple Watch sales are really good. Half of the total smartwatch market is the Apple Watch. Pole position over last year's fourth quarter as global smartwatch shipments continue to grow.
I mean, is that surprising? But from what I've seen so far from the Android side, the devices, I mean, the devices sometimes are nice. Like, there are some really cool ones. The software is not there. So I think a lot of people simply don't care.
So, I think the current Samsung Galaxy Watch, I'm incredibly tempted by that, and I probably will get one before the end of the year.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, the new one. It looks stunning. 46 millimeters. It's got a beautiful crystal clear face. The readouts look excellent. It's automatically pairable with your iPhone dead easily. All the data transfers and goes into HealthKit and all that kind of stuff. It's not Android only, which I thought it was. I thought it was Tizen or Tizen only, but it's not. And I've seen it in operation. I've seen it in the flesh, and it's beautiful. It is a very well-crafted watch. It's everything the Apple Watch should have been.
And what size is the screen again? Do you say model?
46 millimeter is the large one. There's a 42 and a 46.
Oh, Bluetooth smartwatch. You did post a link on this last week, didn't you, I think?
We did. We talked about it on the big show.
Mm. Yeah, available on EE, it says, as well.
Yeah, you can only get the solution for its own data on EE, and they charge you, I think it's a tenner a month on top of your existing plan.
Okay, mate, that was just up front 20 monthly cost, £20. So it's a phone as well as a watch.
Yeah, it does everything that the current Apple Watch does when you're linking with EE, but EE have got the exclusivity on all of these now, which I think there's monopolies and mergers are going to have to start coming in soon and going, sorry, you can't do this anymore.
I was going to say, so I can't buy this watch unless I go through EE. Is that what you're saying in the UK?
No, you can buy the watch as much as you like, but you can't put a SIM card in it unless it's an EE SIM card.
Which is weird, you think about it. The iPhone was like that with just being on O2 when it first came out, right?
But that quickly changed. They quickly had to get more productive because you get Europe are going to kick in and start telling you what you can and can't do.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
I mean, the same is true for the Apple, or was true at some point for the cellular Apple Watch. Like the first round, they only supported one carrier per country, maybe two in the US. And more recently, was that the eSIM in the iPhone 10, or actually 10S, that is only available. It's for, like, with certain carriers.
Yeah, the iPhone is. I think the other problem that you've got is that the because it was iPhone 3 was the first one that was a cell carrier. Apple Watch 3, that EE tied that up. So they're in their second year of exclusivity deal, and I can't see them. Being allowed to keep it going for a third year. Europe will intervene and tell them that they've got to go, or monopolies and mergers will get in, because they've got the entire smartwatch market stitched up in the UK now for connectivity, because they've got the Galaxy Watch and the Apple Watch only. Deepan's saying he thinks the Apple Watch connectivity is also on Vodafone now, but it's only happened just recently.
Yeah, they're definitely rolling it out, but they started out with this one.
I hate to jump in here, but I have to log off.
All right, mate.
Okay.
So, bye, everybody.
See ya.
Take care, Steve. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Nick.
See you, mate. And then there were three.
It's really strange, actually, we talk about Apple Watches, because obviously I was in town today looking at Apple Watches, because I sold mine, I think probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I can honestly say I really missed it, and I really have missed it. It's bizarre.
And I have not missed it in the slightest.
Haven't you?
No, not at all.
I mean, I was wearing my Raymond Veil to the funeral yesterday, which is my lovely dress watch, which my wife bought me for my 40th birthday. And it's such a lovely watch to wear, but I realise I'm actually miss not having, just a day-to-day watch, really. And of course, I'm surrounded by all my ex-Apple colleagues, and they've all got Apple Watches on. And it did make me feel like, God, yeah, I really miss that. You know, especially if the phone rings or messages come, and you don't want to be too polite. You know, don't want to be, you know, rude, and you just sort of look down at your watch and obviously just, you know, neglect to call, things like that. I think I missed that. I'm just looking on there. There's a place in England called CEX, which is a kind of a second-hand place, if you like, to buy used watches.
Muller lives there.
And so I found a Apple Watch Series 3, 42mm, with a Nike sports band, and it's going to cost £165.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered about that. I think it's an ugly watch as well. It is a ugly watch.
Again, I think that'd be interesting this year to see if that changes. Well, not changes, but what the software's going to be like this year. Because obviously this year is going to be obviously all Mac OS again. We've got WWDC. Has that been booked already? Do we know when that's going to be, Patrice?
WWDC?
Yeah.
No.
Has that been announced yet? Ready for
nope,
June?
Not yet. I mean, the dates are kind of out. Like, people know, like, based on bookings of the convention center and surrounding areas, that it's going to be, was it the June the 4th or something, but or 3rd, 4th to the 7th probably, but no, it's not out yet. Yeah, it would be the 3rd to the 7th.
Yeah,
I really wanted to buy a 4, but I decided to sit on it because it is in my feeling that the 5th anniversary watch, they might do something special.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I think this design's around for a good 2 or 3 years, yeah. I think what I'm going to be interested in mostly this year, especially WWDC, is where the Mac OS is going to go, because we've not had anything. I think I was listening to Andy Natko talking about it last week, and he was saying, and quite rightly, we were still looking at a 2015, 2016 operating system here. We've not seen anything really new for Mac OS in a long time. And I'm really interested to see what's going to come up, whether that conversion between OS, iOS comes across.
Was it Mojave October? Am I high?
Yep. Mojave was released in October.
What are they calling lately? They release OS once a year.
Yeah. So Mojave's out right now, isn't it? Yeah.
No, but I think what he's saying is, there's minor changes in the upgrades. They're not massive changes.
They're not really.
Well,
they have,
I mean, honestly,
the last change was the HFS.
Yeah. If you look at the release of the last even 10 years, there've been very few massive changes. Like, a lot of small stuff. I mean, when they introduced handover and all that wasn't a massive feature. It was helpful, but it was like a small thing. I would say the APFS conversion was probably one of the bigger ones very recently. But it's a mature, what do you expect? It's a mature operating system. Like, what do you expect? You don't want, actually, I think most people actually don't want massive changes to macOS anymore.
No. You want your clothesline to still hold all your clothes. And that's what I've really valued in the last few years, is that I've got old applications, particularly things like drivers for the sound card that we did the show with, and that still works, and I value that. I don't want to obsolete my PreSonus stuff like it probably would.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, sort of interface-wise, it doesn't have to sort of break everything that comes out. One thing is you know, innovation within the software that actually makes you go, blimey hell, actually excited to wait. You know, I remember when I was first introduced to Mac, I was showing people the dock and how that works, dragging the applications in and out and rearranging them and the speed of quick look and just so much to show people. And I kind of hear, you know, and obviously I've done a few courses showing people how to, you know, negate this. And I'm slowly starting to think that actually it's feeling really old now, you know?
I bet it's also because you've used it for so long. I mean, don't forget that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think. I mean, the big thing that I see happening, and I hope also for, is more alignment with iOS. There are a lot of weird things in macOS right now where iOS works better or works different, and where I don't think it makes sense. Like, there's no good reason for it. It's not that you say, hey, okay, no, the Mac is different and you're using it different and that's why it has to be different. No, it's actually just nobody ever cared enough to implement it this way. Like, I'm trying to come up with a good example. But I discovered that like about once a week I have something that's like, I wish it would work. Like this feature would work same as in iOS. Yeah.
Mm.
The Photos app is definitely one where it's like, whenever I use it, I'm like...
It's, for the most part, one of the things that happens is the operating system has gotten so easy. What's happened is people have not dove deep into the sort of the higher end advanced features, right? So what happens, people say they don't exist when they do. I could probably just off the top of my head rip out five or six things about Mojave that the general quote unquote power user doesn't even know, but it does because they haven't looked at it because they've been busy complaining that it doesn't do shit. Here's a good one that might as a tip for people that don't know. But for instance, when you move all your photos over on the chip, right? They all say, you know, DSG or whatever, and a bunch of numbers. One of the things that people used to do is pull out, you know, an app to rename all the apps. But did you know that now you can just select all of the items in the Finder window and then right click and say rename, and you could actually sequentially rename them with Boolean operations direct from the Finder with a right click on the mouse. Most people don't know that. And then Command-Shift-5, instead of taking a screenshot, will allow you to change it from screenshot to clipboard, because if you're writing a document where you need to put a lot of screenshots into the clipboard, rather than having them saved to your desktop and leave a bunch of crap all over your desktop, if you press Command-Shift-5, you'll get a little menu that pops up at the bottom. Click on Options, change it to clipboard, and then until you change it back, all your screenshots will only stay in your clipboard instead of that irritating little pop-up sheet that comes up like iOS, which I hated that they added because it gets in the way. Yeah. So, I mean, again, you can, from there, you can movie capture. You can do all kinds of stuff. And again, I bet you most people don't even know those exist because they're busy complaining the OS sucks.
Bob says he knows that.
I'm happy for Bob.
Of course he does.
Bob says he
So one that, person that, out of all the people in the chat room and all of us sitting here, only one person said that. I said most people.
Sorry.
Someone disagrees. No. Hey.
Jesus. The dog.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, to some extent, don't forget that, I mean, most or all of us have been using macOS for... Well, it depends, but I would say at least 10 years.
System 2,
So, yes, well, even longer than. So a lot of the things that are different and are novel, like, they just wear off over time. Like, you're just used to the dock. The dock is still awesome, but you're just used to it.
Yeah, and James has gone, James has decided to just walk away. His dog's gone mental.
He took off his shawl and he's, walked away.
Well, he must be bad if he's taking his shawl off, mate. Absolutely. He's come back for his shawl. He's got it over his legs now. Hello.
Yeah, so, for me, I think there will be a slow process towards more unification between the platforms, between iOS and between macOS. Doesn't mean that macOS will be iOS. It just means like more alignment, like things work the same on both sides. And that was a goal Apple had a couple of years ago, and I don't know what happened. I think they never really fully did it. Like, they put some stuff from iOS to on macOS, but then they stopped, and still a lot of areas very different. And I think that will happen. I mean, what you saw with, what's this project called, what they announced last year in the WWDC with the four apps that basically are iOS apps that run on the Mac. And they still suck right now. But sorry.
Okay.
I forgot what was that called? Marzipan.
Right.
That you can see that direction. Like, Apple is saying, okay, we have to unify platforms a little bit more, make it easier for developers to provide software on both sides, have maybe even common, like a common UI language a little bit more, all of that. And I think that's the direction we're going.
And then, yeah, we have apps that I use every day that crisscross the platforms and they integrate like seamlessly. If you haven't downloaded, just for James to complain about this crap, download and try Day One app. Day One app on the iPhone, the iPad, the watch, and the computer all flow together so seamlessly. And they even take, you know, like iOS UI type stuff and put it into the macOS version. And it's just one of the most perfect implementations of using the entire ecosystem. I don't want them to put it on TV because I don't want my entries popping up on the TV. But it would probably, they would be the ones to figure out how to get it all the way across. Like, there are companies out there that do it perfectly, and there's companies that don't. And I guess the part of them that makes it horrible, if you're like a Word user, the Word iPad app is incredible. The Word on Mac still sucks. And I think they've purposely broken Word on the Mac since 2003. So you're not going to fix that, because whoever runs the design team for Word on the Mac does not give about the Mac side, because it's always sucked, which is why I've never used Word on my Mac for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. Here's a picture of the watch, the Samsung Galaxy Watch for James, so he can go. Oh, you're on mute, mate. For Christ's sake.
There you go. Sorry, I didn't want to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you putting it on mute so we don't hear your teeth chattering. But
got the fire on downstairs, but no heating upstairs.
Have you seen?
Yeah, it's a beaut, isn't it? That's a lovely watch, isn't it?
It's what it's what a watch should look like. And it's hooked as well, isn't it? Isn't this the one that does the hooks, so you don't have to pull the pins out to change the straps?
Oh, is it?
They just hook on you.
Right. And how much is that UK sort of retail?
$299.
Okay.
So it's a third of the price of an Apple Watch.
New. I think it's one of those things that when you a watch is it's a piece of jewelry a bloke's wear, let's face it. And actually, you know, you've really got to try those things on and see what it looked like on the wrist. And I think you said you've already seen this, haven't you? So
you can't. I've seen real watches of this on people's wrists that are friends, but right. I've if you go to the shop and say, "Can I have a look at it?" Nope, seal box. Have you got one on display? Nope, can't see it. Will it fit my wrist? Don't know. Do you want anything, or do you want to piss off?
Risky, can I take?
It is a risk.
It's a risk.
Who the hell? What on earth are you doing?
Oh.
Never mind. There we go. I think that's it. I wasn't going to... the Apple Watch. I'm not going to talk about it. Yeah, okay. Well, we're done. This podcast, Nullis, is brought to you by you... by TSO Hosts. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to edit. This podcast and all this is brought to you by... This is your fault throwing me last week, Tristan.
Yeah, I know.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Hosts. They are superb to us, and we couldn't thank them enough. What we need from you is to thank them for us. They are interested in brand recognition. That is the whole purpose of them, sponsoring our network. So please get yourself out on Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff, all the social platforms, and say thanks to @TSOHosts for supporting @BritishTech, and get it out there as fast as you can. We got a lovely guy this morning. I think he was a German guy. He tweeted it out. That was nice. We've had quite a few people say thanks for supporting British Tech, and it makes a massive difference. And also... we've got the Wirecast stuff. So Telestream, thank @Telestream as well for supporting us, because without them, we wouldn't be doing any of this rubbish. And of course, thanks to Hoya for being long-time friends of the show and providing me with my glasses for doing the show and the great experience that we've had with Uniku. If you'd like to try it, write to podcast@hoya.co.uk and they will organise the red carpet treatment for the BTN listeners. Superb. Bash is coming up, 27th of July. Make sure you stick it in your diaries. We need 60 paying adults to be there to break even. So please make sure that you get your tickets as soon as you can. I think Righty's fixing it this week, so you'll be able to click on it. I mean, you can actually click on and buy tickets anyway, even though it's displaying the wrong date. But your ticket will be for the 27th of July. It's a bit later this month. I think we're going to try and move it later in, because we'll get more people, perhaps. The early part of the holidays is not very good. So think of the bash, get yourself in, get yourself your tickets, get your hotels booked if you possibly can. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
As I know, you will get pissed at me if I pick my Sony Alpha A6400. Actually put Mac as soon as I untangle my cord. All right, here we go. I am doing a review on this, but so far this is pretty cool. This little dock right here is an OWC travel dock USB-C type. And what's really excellent about this, besides coming in, if you go to, let me pull this up, OWC Digital or MaxSales.com, you'll see it on there. But basically, the thing that makes this really cool is, depending on your MacBook, you can get it in any matching colors to your MacBook. It provides 60-watt power out of there, so it will run through the computer and come out the other side if you have something else that you need to charge, like your iPad. And I like the fact that it has a really fast SD slot card, which is there. It has HDMI right there, and then two of your standard super speed USB 3.1 hookups. Really cheap, only like $50, but it's really light, like it, and it feels built because it's metal. You know, it's not like super cheap. It has plastic tops, but the build quality is incredible, and this travel dock is going to come in handy as I embark upon my travels to the mainland coming soon to go see Verso.
Doc is reviewing a dock.
Yeah, dock
on dock.
Muller.
It is kind of funny.
It's
but
some dock on dock action.
The thing that's really good is I've tried a bunch of small travel docks, and because they're not really built by, you know, people that build AppleKit, they're not fast, right? And you figure like they all should be the same speed, but they're not. I guess what happens is there's chips that people put inside them that you can buy cheap quality chips or you can buy good chips, and they just provide connectivity and power, but they kill the speed. This one is really fast, and the HDMI, you know, is the latest ilk, so it passes through all of the information that you need. And, yeah, it's a really cool, small, little, lightweight dock, and it's built like a tank.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Patrice, your cool thing, please. I've gone out of order. Sorry, mate.
So my cool thing this... Oh, doesn't matter. My cool thing this week is a display that I bought. It has a really nice description. It's a XR342CK from Acer.
BMIJQPHUZX.
Something, yes.
Yeah.
Gesundheit. what it is a 34-inch curved display.
It looks beautiful.
I did a lot of research, looked into the LG ones, looked at like a lot of reviews and everything, and I needed something for my new office. I mean, I've been using a TV that was in my previous apartment as a display in my office. Now I don't have that anymore, so I needed something. And I decided to give like curved displays a try after you mentioned that like so many times that they're awesome.
Oh, my two are brilliant.
And I'm really happy with them so far. Like the cool thing about this one is it has like USB-C or like USB-C connection.
Yeah.
You can do a DisplayPort or HDMI, like all ports available, whatever you want to connect to. I'm using USB-C. It was just easier and faster and smaller cable. But it is awesome. And it's so $799 retail price, $799. You can get it for like $730 or something from Amazon or Walmart or someone else. Other than that, it is awesome. Like really high quality, almost bezel-less. They have very small bezels on the sides. The only area where there's a little bit of a bezel is the lower part where they have the naming. I don't know why, but yeah, that's where they put it.
Excellent.
It is great.
Superb. Hang on. James, what have you got for us, mate?
That is I'm quite jealous. That is a lovely monitor. Did you say you're just getting one of those, Patrice, mm-hmm, or two?
Oh, no. I only got one. I might at some point buy a second one because
I've got two.
That is lovely. Very quickly and easy. This is a little game. You know, I don't visit the iOS store as much as I used to, and that makes me a bit sad, really, because I remember being a time where I'd be checking every week for something new to play with. I guess I'm just happy with my lot. So actually going to the App Store these days, it's a bit of a... I kind of lost my way as to what's new and what's popular. But I found this. It's called Best Rally. It's just a real simple... you touch either side of the screen. And it's simple as that. So it rotates the car left and right. And it's got automatic acceleration. The only thing that's infuriating is if you hit a wall or a corner of the wall, you can't reverse out of it. You quite actually have to press reset. It's free. Why not give it a blast? It's called Best Rally. It's very good. As a treat for myself, because I finished Red Dead Redemption 2 the other day. I say finish. You don't really finish that game. But I've also bought a Dirt Rally 2.0 on the Xbox, which I'm just installing right now. So hopefully I'm going to cheer myself up and go have a proper rally game as well on the Xbox. So I'll give you the review of that next week. But I can't wait to play that.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Michael thing is an indestructible phone case that I got off Instagram. So this is it. It comes with a polycarbonate back, and there's like pictures of people trying to drill it and stuff like that. And there's people cutting on a cutting, using it like a cutting mat. You get two bits. You get the front bit, and then you get the back bit, and then the front bit sits on with magnets. That's it. Snaps on, and it's indestructible. So I have bought this because I cracked my iPhone screen, which I need to pay £320 to get it repaired. But I said, I'm not getting it repaired until I get my indestructible cover. So I've got my indestructible cover now, and I'm going to go and get it done. But there you go. It's a magnetic two-sided cover.
Does it come in something that isn't hideously red, like the one you've got?
Shove that up your ass, mate. No, it comes in lots of colours. Including unsubtle ones. I got the cherry red because it just looked like a cherry red strap, mate. That's it. There isn't a brand name there is a brand name, but I can't remember what it was. And there's loads of them. Every few minutes I get a feed that says it. And I was quite surprised because I thought, I could be wasting £15 here. But I wasn't. It came pretty quickly. So quite chuffed.
Every time I see that come up in my feed, I keep wanting to buy it. Now you can say that it's good.
I'll buy it. Yeah, it's a good case. I liked it. And the back, whether the back's as indestructible as they say, I don't know, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Mate, since I had this mouse, MOUS, which as you said looks like a parquet flooring, given the fact that if you could get a nice carbon fibre back on it, I have dropped this so many times, I can't tell you. And as you know, I paid like £1,250 for this phone. It's an iPhone 10. 256 gig, and I'll tell you what, it's saved my life. It really has. I've dropped down many times, and that case is superb. I can't recommend it hard more. Yeah, brilliant. Good pick.
Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. James, where are you?
I'm at Butterfingers, apparently, says Bob Beach. I am Butterfingers, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter, at James Riccardi. It's my preferred choice of contact. Thank you very much.
And people can still sign up for iDiscover TV to do the Motion 5 courses and Udemy.
Yeah, well, I'm building the website from scratch now just because I wasn't getting much joy with it. And so I'm trying to create this new streaming service via my own website. So I'm using Udemy still. New month, a great month last week. And if you want to learn Motion, lots of people do. It's brilliant. It's going well.
Excellent, mate.
Thank you.
And Patrice, where would you be?
Well, as every week and every time, I am on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And thank you for coming today because I know you didn't feel 100%. I appreciate it.
Well, it's still fine.
That's when it matters, mate. It really matters. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next Friday with the Mac Show as normal. All the Mac news. I hope they actually bother to make some because that would be really cool. And we'll see you for the big show at 8 p.m. tonight. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.